Today's guest on Medio Scientific's The Business of Lorwyn is Olivier Hersent, founder and CEO of Actility, one of the core companies behind the global Lorwyn movement. Olivier isn't just a leader in the space, he's a founder. He helped write the original Lorwyn standard and has spent the past decade driving real-world adoption across smart cities, industry, and infrastructure worldwide. In this episode, we dig into the explosive growth of Lorwyn in building automation, especially its integration with the legacy BACnet protocol. Olivier explains how bridging Lorwyn with BACnet is unlocking massive retrofit potential in existing buildings, an overlooked but crucial market for wireless sensing. He also walks us through emerging geolocation use cases in closed-loop logistics, like automotive manufacturing and vehicle tracking, and offers a sharp look at how AI and Lorwyn are beginning to work together at the edge. We cover deployments in Africa, defense applications, and Olivier's thoughts on what it would take to start a successful Lorwyn business today. Let's dig in. Enjoy the combo. Right on. Olivier, thanks so much for making the time to come on. I know you're busy. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for picking me up.
Yeah, of course. It's an honor to have you on. I thought we'd start talking about one of the big things that I'm hearing a ton about in Lorwyn right now, which is this connection with BACnet, which seems to be kind of the next big frontier in smart buildings in general. Can you walk me through why it's such a big deal for you as you're looking into kind of Lorwyn in general and say, like, this is what this will unlock for us?
Well, you know what everybody says about new technologies in new markets, right? It's very hard. So you tend to be willing to find something your new technology is useful for in an existing market. Building automation is probably one of the biggest, most stable markets around here, but it's very, very, very legacy. In that market, the king protocol is BACnet, to a certain degree Modbus as well, but BACnet is really like 70% dominant in that market. This protocol is so old that I don't know if you will even remember the times where you had to connect coax Ethernet and you had no, you know, it was all broadcast. So BACnet is so old that it doesn't support routing. You know, you can't have routed IP packets. But interestingly, even if you buy a brand new PLC today to control the building, it will have that BACnet. So we figured that if we would bridge LoRaWAN and BACnet together, you would make things so much simpler for anyone trying to retrofit a new sensing use case in an existing building without the wires. And there are a few technologies, wireless technologies that worked in the building automation space, and Ocean being one, but nothing was really like good enough for everything, you know, works just as good as wired. And somehow it seems the market is now perceiving LoRaWAN as being as good as wired. And because of the link with BACnet, as easy to use as my good old wired sensor. So it's been a boom, surprising even to us. You know, an example I want to give, in that market, the dominant software is Niagara by a company called Tridium. In the Tridium user forum, you would have nothing about LoRa, right? Why would you? It's totally different space. In the Niagara user forum in London, that was 6 months ago, each booth, like 100% of the booths, had the LoRaWAN gateway on the stand. And all of them were talking about wireless sensing. So it's been massive, and it's going to be even bigger in the years to come. So great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And you've called it a tsunami, which is pretty big. It's pretty big word there as far as a promise of what's to come. What do you think are the bottlenecks? Are there going to be enough people who know enough about LoRaWAN and BACnet and integrating them? Or is it just like, oh, there's millions of buildings and there's only a couple hundred engineers who know how to do this? Like, what are the things that are going to really slow this down?
That's the whole point. This industry, I mean, the building automation industry, is resource constrained. There are few experts. They are used 120%. They have no will whatsoever to learn a new technology. It's not that they are not curious. They don't have the time. So the whole point is to make LoRa completely transparent to them. What we do is we actually take all the LoRa sensors, we convert them to BACnet in a way that you just connect BACnet to your existing Niagara and it's all working. You don't need to even understand what LoRaWAN is doing. And if you don't make it that easy, it doesn't work. It doesn't work even 1%, doesn't work at all. There's no way to get in this market.
Got it. And so that will be an advantage or a moat for Actility to say, hey, we can make BACnet easy. Is it as easy for someone or some other company to do? Or is that a unique kind of ability that Actility has?
It's a lot of work. It's not about being more intelligent than others. Like many, many things, it's about being more persistent. You need to take each and every sensor around there in the LoRaWAN world. And as you know, LoRaWAN doesn't have a standard for the application layer. So any sensor is going to have a different way of, you know, different semantics, different ways of doing what it does. You need to read it, understand it, build a driver, map it to BACnet, test it. And it's a lot of work, but we've been doing this for many years now, and we think we're getting to that point where it's all smooth enough to be used by BACnet professionals.
And do you think that AI will have a place in this? It seems like AI has been super helpful to me coming into LoRaWAN fairly new since 2020. So saying like, okay, hey, write me a decoder or fix this thing or figure this thing out. And, you know, something even as general as GPT will do that.
I think it will. Actually, we are trying, but as you know, AI needs examples. So at this point, we're trying to, first of all, we do it a lot manually. We're trying to also improve the standard, because the best way to not have to write drivers is to make sure people write drivers in the correct way up front. The LoRa Alliance has progressed a little bit there, but not enough in the actual semantics. So there is still progress to do. And once we have all these examples, I think, not now, but maybe in a year, we'll be able to, you know, have a prompt like, look at these 100 examples, just read the manual, please write the same thing. And I think it will work.
And is that something that Actility is going to make available as a tool to its customers? Or do you think that will just be available in general in the marketplace or some hybrid?
So right now, what we do is obviously the standard itself, we push in the LoRa Alliance and we contribute to it. So that's available to everyone. And actually most, maybe 60-70% of LoRaWAN sensor vendors now adopt the standard and are trying to progress it. In terms of writing your own drivers, it's available in our tools. You can pick an existing driver, tweak it, improve it, or write your own. And the next step with the AI writing is something that we're working on. Of course, it's not yet something you can just click on and prompt your driver.
We're getting there. It's amazing to me how fast that's progressing. So it's a very cool time to be alive. One of the other themes that's coming up is this, I think you're calling it, or you call it closed loop logistics, where there's this new market segment where people are just saying, hey, I want my own piece. Can you walk me through how you're thinking of that idea?
Yeah. The main point is that it is a new market segment in geolocation and logistics overall. People tend to say, well, what about tracking a truck, you know, that type of things where you use cellular or satellite, and that used to be the logistics markets. But today we're getting into use cases. The most recent one I can quote is an automotive manufacturer, and in the assembly chain, they used to just have, you know, for each work point, spare parts, and you know how many spare parts you're going to use per day, and it's fairly static. But now your trucks have e-fuels, hybrid fuels, you know, different engines. So you get more and more options. So it's become impossible to know in advance how many spare parts you need every hour. So you need to measure it. You need to track your spare parts throughout the factory. So these kind of use cases where you need to track things inside and outside the factory, or you build the engine in one factory and then you put the engine in the cradle. You send it to another factory, but you want them to return the cradle because the cradle is worth $1,000. There is a ton of use cases like this, and it's fairly new. LoRa is the perfect thing because you want something that works indoors, outdoors, very inexpensive. And obviously the location itself is using the usual suspects, you know, BLE sniffing, Wi-Fi sniffing, GNSS outside. But the glue, the backhaul is LoRaWAN, and it's a very successful use case for us.
Yeah, and this was, I know I talked to Julian over at Volvo about this a while ago on one of these shows, and I'm pretty sure they're using Actility.
Yeah, Volvo was using it to track the trucks throughout their assembly chain all the way to the parking, but there are others. Finished vehicle logistics is another one, and now with all this tech stuff, you get huge stockpiles of vehicles that were pushed through before a tax increase, or they are left on the parking because you can't sell them, you know. So there are massive parkings out there with 20, 30,000 cars, and you need to find these cars, and you only have like, what, 8 different colors? You divide 30,000 by 8, it's still a lot of identical cars. So that's also a case for closed-loop logistics where LoRa is just the perfect technology.
Oh, interesting. And do you think that we'll see kind of custom tracker stuff like that where it'll just be a magnet tracker and you put it on the top of a car 1 minute. And then as the car leaves the lot, you pull the tracker off and put it on the next thing? Or is that not really what you're seeing?
We do have this. We have a subsidiary called Abbeway that makes obviously standard trackers. You know, I have one like here. But indeed, more and more, we get customers who are obviously for a certain volume, you know, like 5,000, 10,000, they go to us with very specific requirements. The finished vehicle logistics, for example, you want to have something that flashes very strong so you can identify that specific car here. Recently, we've been working with an animal reserve in Africa where they want to get a sort of emergency SMS-like signal. You pair your phone with the tracker, and if you lose the cellular signal, you can still have a primitive way of SMS through the tracker. This kind of thing we see more and more. And it's actually easy to do because once you get the core, obviously sensor and lower-end part, adding a few IOs here and there is not so difficult. And in the end, it's mostly the cost is mostly plastics if you need new form factors.
Yeah. And you spent time growing up in Africa, right? So it must be nice for you to kind of return back to that a little bit and have a reason to pay attention to it.
It is great. And there are two things in Africa that are great. Of course, this kind of tracking use cases. The other thing is running water is coming to Africa it was, of course, in the main big cities, but now it's coming to cities below 10,000 inhabitants. And it's a revolution. You know, here we'll talk about AMI. When you and I talk around in Europe or the US about water, it's all about, oh, do you have that smart meter? But in Africa, it's more interesting. It's, oh, do you have water? And there are utilities there that grow 50% a year. And again, it's a great use case for LoRaWAN there because most cellular networks are still 2G, very expensive. So utilities don't bother. They just deploy their own infrastructure.
Interesting. I always remember the story about Africa going straight to cell towers and never putting in, you know, hard lines for phones. They may just go straight to LoRaWAN as kind of the sensorial net for everything across the continent.
They do. And Ivory Coast is one of the leading countries there. Very interesting what they are doing. We see lots of, you know, it would be an economic podcast. Everyone says Africa is probably the next high growth economy in IoT. It's also true. I think actually we spend a lot of time in Africa, a lot of attention because I think it's going to be fairly explosive there on basic infrastructure.
Oh, interesting. Because it always seemed to me like they're just that the capital depth isn't there to manage or to support that. But it sounds like maybe the raw resources.
But you know what? LoRa is inexpensive. The budget to do a nationwide network is what, 15, 20 million? For utility, it's nothing. It's pocket money. So it's not the issue, actually. That cost point of LoRa makes it really suitable for emerging economies.
Oh, very cool. So, you've been in LoRaWAN since the beginning. You helped write the standard and founded the whole thing. If you could maybe rewind the clock a little bit or think of it as some 20-year-old kid comes up to you and says, hey, I want to start a company in LoRaWAN. What should I be looking at or paying attention to that I should build in the next couple of years? Where would you direct them?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think now it's mature enough that you no longer really talk about LoRaWAN in general. You need to focus on your use case.
Okay.
So my advice would probably pick a problem that LoRaWAN can solve, that you can solve, you know, together with a sensor. I'm getting very excited on this custom sensing thing, actually. If I would start something now, that's probably what I would do because there is an enormous legacy industry of sensing, all wired, and they are all coming to wireless. So they all need help. So that I think there is a huge market to just go around, visit existing sensing companies and help them go wireless. That's probably one of the things I would push for.
And is that something where you would basically say like, hey, you cut the old wires and you add in this LoRaWAN radio with the battery? Or are you saying like, hey, you would just create an entirely new sensor to replace the old one?
If you take metering, it's a good example. You take an existing protocol like DLMS. It's really more the application layer that's the problem. Changing just the file layer is really not a problem at all. But when you're wired, you tend to be talkative. Not if you have a very old sensor. And actually, many of those belong to the very old category where they are still using RS-485, you know, very slow serial connections. So for these, the switch to LoRaWAN is actually fairly easy. But if you were used to cellular, for example, the switch from cellular to LoRaWAN is a bit more painful. And street lighting is a perfect example of this. But most of the time, when you look at these very fat application layers, a lot of XML, a lot of JSON, it's 99% fat. You know, sometimes just get one bit in the middle of a big JSON. So the consulting part of it is just say, okay, well, you're actually just interested in that one bit. Well, guess what? Just transmit that bit, get rid of the rest. You reconstruct the rest. So it's a bit of consultative usually, not too difficult most of the time. And it's part of the adaptation work.
Very cool. And I think we end up with this thing that I don't hear a bunch about. Every so often I'll get a hint of it on LinkedIn or something, which is LoRaWAN and the military. What are you seeing with militaries as far as them using LoRaWAN? Like, how are they using it? What are they thinking of? What does that look like?
We've seen, obviously, this is not the mainstream technology in the military, but we see it more and more. Perhaps the most logical use case that I can't disclose the where and who, but I can tell you it's active together in live military bases, is really to track the people, the vehicle, and the tools on airbase. I have been in the military. I think you have too. If you're on a big airbase, there are thousands of people going around. And today, the security, when a visitor gets in, you get a paper badge and you feel secure. Okay, he gets his badge, right? He can go anywhere. Obviously, no real security behind it. So now in some bases, they actually get a badge that tracks them around. Of course, you can take it off. But if you take it off, it stops moving. And guess what? That's an alarm. If you get to a place where you shouldn't be going, you have an alarm. Same for vehicles. You get a bus in the base. The bus is supposed to go to that place or this car to that place and park at that place and nowhere else. So more and more, we see this kind of additional security layers come up with electronics. The other thing is finding stuff around, and you get great videos of Cisco on that because obviously there are a lot in U.S. Army base, and you would expect that F-35s or, you know, it's all sci-fi around it. But they had descriptions of how in the real world, there are still pliers, there are still tools. You know, it's like, you know, very, very human. If you forget a screwdriver and you might have forgotten it in an airplane engine that's worth a billion, some of these airbase, they get shut entirely. No one gets out, no one gets in until you find that damn screwdriver. So more and more you get tracking for in also in these bases to make sure you get less and less of this lost item. Could be a weapon, could be a $100,000 tool, or it could be a $10 tool in the wrong place and you just want to find it.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay. So it's really the application of wireless IoT, you know, across the board. Okay. If we then kind of finish up by this idea of LoRaWAN is still growing. IoT is still growing. We're seeing this pretty amazing coming together of AI and IoT, where IoT is providing basically like the nervous system of the world where AI can say, okay, now I can see this thing. I can sense this thing. They can start to really interact with the physical world. What do you think it looks like when we're done? What do you think it looks like when kind of the IoT is really fully developed across the world? How does that change our lives?
Obviously, there is a lot of optimization that will go on. I can give you an example about integration of renewable energy. We all hear that, okay, you get a lot of wind farms, a lot of solar, and that's a problem because, you know, you get more energy, less energy. How do you adapt to this randomness? And very often it's presented like an almost unsolvable problem. But guess what? If tomorrow all your fridges, all our fridges, all our electric cars receive a signal, okay, now energy is a lot cheaper. Just go on, you know, turn on the compressor right now. Charge the car a little faster now. The problem is gone. There is no investment behind it. You know, you don't need to invest in a ton of new batteries or whatever. You just need to make the existing cars, the existing charging systems of cars smarter. Or AC, you know, air conditioning is coming. In the US, it's everywhere already. But in the rest of the world, France included, it's coming now, all these heat pumps. Same, you know, you control that heat pump by half degree up or down. You get an enormous energy buffer that can valorize additional energy or vice versa, release more energy to the grid when needed. There are tons of examples like this where it's just way more efficient, a lot less weight, a lot less cost than today. And the other thing is when it comes to AI, today, setting up an alarm, things like, you know, if the temperature becomes more than 25 degrees for more than so on, it's an expert thing and people are lazy and you just don't do it. I think tomorrow you'll just be able, and actually we're doing some trials here, you just talk to an AI, say, okay, my idea of an alarm is that, you know, it's more or less this and it creates the rules by itself. I think it will also make it easier and more massive to just create the smart things by talking to some AI system.
Yeah, it is super cool to think that, you know, we started the conversation talking about BACnet and LoRaWAN and how there's this kind of limited amount of people that understand the entirety of it, and it's becoming easier. Is really these LLMs are allowing us to start to speak to our world and to speak to the world of IoT. And it's a pretty cool time to be alive and to be experiencing that.
Indeed. And it's, you know, when you put the BACnet and the edge of it and AI, and you can bridge this two, it's an interesting perspective through time.
Yeah, it's very cool. Hey, I know you're super busy. I really appreciate you making the time to come on. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us on the Business of LoRaWAN.
It was great talking to you, Nick.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you, so whether you're a business owner, a LoRaWAN professional, or a hobbyist, the intent is to give you great LoRaWAN information. Of course, the best information doesn't come from me. It comes from the conversations we have with the people building and deploying this tech in the real world. And that's where you come in. LoRaWAN is a global patchwork of talent and ideas, and ironically, for a globally connected network, most of the brilliant folks working on it aren't connected yet. Help me change that. Introduce me to someone awesome in your network, someone doing meaningful work in LoRaWAN, or just shoot me a name. I'll take it from there and get them on the show so we can share their work with the world. You can always find me at metsci.show. That's metsci.show, metsci.show. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can subscribe, leave a review, share it with your corner of the world. All of those are super helpful. If you'd like to support financially, you can go to support.metsci.show for both one-time and recurring options. We're also open to sponsors. If your company serves the LoRaWAN community and you want to reach this dedicated audience, let's talk. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, create a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 DC for free, which is enough to run a device sending hourly for about a year. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.